population is e-risk index, a screening tool of early precursors of likely neglectful behaviors for clinicians and service providers, by Laurie Nisayan Jefferson.
Good afternoon. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm really enjoying the San Diego sun. It's absolutely gorgeous. Coming from Boston, this is quite a treat. I'm here today, and I'm presenting on behalf of Robin Lancy from Georgetown University. This particular study addressed the development of e-risk index, screening tool of early precursors of likely neglectful behavior to be used by clinicians and service providers. The study was conducted under the auspices of the National Center for the Prevention of Neglect and Child Abuse. It was established in 1999. The purpose was to design and conduct research to advance understanding of the etiology and effective strategies to prevent child neglect across diverse populations and settings. Let's see what I'm gonna have to. This is okay. The Centers for Neglect has developed a conceptual model relating to the role of maternal adjustment, health, social supports, and stress, and its relationship to potential parental neglect in child development. I'm not going to really go through this particular conceptual model. As you can see, it's somewhat complex, but again, you can take a look at it and get a sense of all the different pathways in which neglect can potentially take place and how it then impacts on child development. Okay. I think it's going to
just work. Press this.
Oh, press it down.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting the...
Just not the ball, just this button.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here we go again. The potential, the center has funded a number of projects, and they have projects that have been funded in terms of the first-time parenting study of adolescent and adult mothers and infants, the prevention of child neglect. It was a four-site randomized clinical trial of My Baby and Me program. Also, the Adolescent Development and Responsibilities Project in Advancing Methods to Study Parenting and Neglect, and the Baby Library. Reading is fundamental. This major study that I'm going to be talking about today informed the development of the e-risk index. And this was the first-time parenting project. This first-time parenting project was a project that had sites in five areas. It was in Birmingham, Alabama, Kansas City, Washington, D.C., and South Bend, Indiana. In this particular project, there were 396 teen moms between the ages of 15 and 18, 162 adult moms that were over 22 years of age that were matched for education, ethnicity, and race and income level to the teen sample, kind of sort of to the teen sample, because of course the teens had not had the opportunity to graduate from high school yet. In addition to that, it was also a group of 125 adult moms with at least 2 years of college matched for the race ethnicity of the enrolled other study participants during the third trimester. The goals of the study were to identify key constructs hypothesized to be precursors of early child neglect. Secondly, to develop a screening tool for service providers and clinicians, and then determine whether it can be used to predict the quality of the home environments and the mother-child interactions. And thirdly, to determine whether screening tools predict children's development at 24 months. So again, what we really want to get a sense of is whether or not this particular e-risk tool could predict not only likely neglectful behavior, but also child's development at 24 months of age. Data for the study was obtained during several time periods. It was both a prospective and longitudinal study. So data was obtained during the second trimester of the pregnancy, including measures of plans relating to parenting for mothers, home visits when babies was 4 months old and 6 months old, and they also did home visits. There were also cell phone interviews when the child was 4 and 5 months old, and there was also subsequent data collection and at lab and home visits and through cell phone interventions at 8, 12, 15, 18, 24, and 36 months. So there was a lot of data collection, as you can well see. There are a number of tools to measure early risk of neglect. And these tools, I'm not going to really, you can really see the different tools that were used. But I will just give you a little bit of description on some of these tools so you can get an idea of what they actually measured. The Child Abuse Potential Inventory measures issues around distress, rigidity, unhappiness, problems with children, problems with families, problems with others. And they also had a validity scale that looked at, that really addressed whether or not the particular participant was telling the truth and whether or not they were giving random responses as well, and also inconsistency in terms of their responses from one item to another. There was also the Beck Depression tool as well, and this particular tool really looked at certain depressive symptoms as expressed. This was a 21-item multiple-choice self-report inventory, and it measures really severity of depression and unhappiness. And some of the items related to irritability, guilt, feelings of self-punishment, fatigue, and whether or not there was weight loss, loss of interest in sex, and all the other indicators of potential depression. And again, I mentioned that we also had the cell phone interviews, and there was also a tool relating to parent-child activities, and that was both an interview as well as an observation. From prior research results like those of the study that I just highlighted, and extensive experience working with first-time moms, as well as the literature, we hypothesized that the precursors of neglect could be classified into 4 basic constructs. They related to recognition of parenting responsibilities, and that related to unwillingness to accept new responsibilities in parenting. Also, there were uncertainty about the ability to provide emotional support to children, and also uncertainty about whether or not the parent felt like they could do a good job. There were also indicators in reference to constructs relating to resources, which is education, income, age, experience, as well as mental health, particularly depression and unhappiness. Third, support for parenting, which really related to whether or not there were other adults and family members and friends who could support the mother at first-time parenting. And then also parenting beliefs and information. It really addressed issues relating to whether or not, what kinds of attitudes parents had in terms of how they should rear their children, in terms of being authoritarian and harsh, and really supporting being harsh or authoritarian in reference to their parenting. So therefore, as you can see, there were a number of risk factors that were indicated as potential precursors for early child neglect. And I'm just going to go through some of the following slides quickly to give you an idea of some of the results that came out of the research. An examination of the percentages of items endorsed by each type of mother, whether it's a teen mother, a low-resource mother, or an adult high-resource mother, and to give you a sense of the differences. It is worth mentioning that there were no significant differences that were documented between types of mothers for items related to social support and family support for their parents. So again, I'm just going to go through some of these. You can see uncertainty about ability to do a good job raising children. As you can see, the teen moms had a higher rate of the inability to do a good job in terms of raising their children. And you can see that the teen moms also had a higher rate for moderate to severe clinical depression while they were pregnant. In terms of the unhappiness score, you can see the same thing for teen moms. As you can really see, it's sort of going down pretty much equally in terms of teen moms than to low-resource moms and adult high-resource moms. Okay. Unwillingness to recognize and accept new parenting responsibilities, again, you can see, but in this case, it's really interesting because you do see a difference that it's a higher rate for adult low-resource moms. in terms of parenting style, punishment, and really what that meant was having a endorsing punishment as a good way to discipline children. You can see again there was a higher rate among teen moms. Parenting style authoritarian, you can see the results there as well. Parenting style lack of responsivity to child's scores during pregnancy, again, you can see the results. And again, the teen moms and the adult low resource moms in this case were very close to each other. And rigidity, again, you can see that it was adult low resource moms were higher than teen moms. And there was such a low number, if I can go back here, and you can see a very, very low number for adult high resource moms. Okay. So what is the summary? The summary of the findings show that low-resource moms have higher rates of maternal adjustment problems, including mental health issues and uncertainty about ability to do a good job raising children and to provide emotional support, unwillingness to accept parental responsibilities, and endorsing use of more abusive, neglective, punitive, rigid, and authoritarian parenting practices and less responsibility. Responsibility to children. Teen mothers have the higher rates of any groups for most precursors. And we also found similar patterns of early precursors of likely neglectful behaviors during the first 6 months of their baby's life. And you can see these figures here. What was the research two goal was the development of a screening tool for service providers and clinicians. From the information we gained from previous analysis, we chose 10 items to develop an e-risk index that was formed by summing negative responses to each item. This 10-item e-risk index was found to be significantly associated with 4-month quality of home environments and maternal and child health interactions. The 10 items for this particular tool included the unhappiness scale, the Beck Depression Scale, the certainty to do a good job, the ability to provide emotional support and to accept new responsibility. Also, the Capity Rigidity Scale, the less responsiveness, as well as more authoritarian and more harsh punishment. And I think I've already gone through this particular slide, so I won't need more. And so, our main objective was to develop a brief tool to be used by clinicians and service providers for detecting early precursors of likely neglectful behavior. We decided to go with 3 of the original 10 items because of their high correlations with outcomes. We felt that they would be easy for clinicians and service providers to screen for. The first 2 items were from the Pearl and Self Mastery Questionnaire, and the third is an item taken from the Responsibility Interview. We decided to add an additional item from the Parenting Style Expectations Questionnaire. This item also found significant differences between types of mothers. And combing items resulted in a 4-item scale. And the 4-item scale were these particular questions that you see right here. And I'm really not going to go through this particular slide in interest of time, but what you can see is that one of the things that we found out that was in particular adult high-resource moms were likely to possess 0 prenatal risk factors and less likely to possess 3 risk factors than the other mothers. The groups were fairly similar for 1 and 4 risk factors. Overall, teens and adult low-resource mothers were fairly similar in their risk percentages. Just as in the 10-item e-risk index, the 4-item index was found to be significantly related to quality of home environment and mother-child interactions. And at 4 months for the total sample, it was associated with, and you can see the places where there are bold, you can see that there were statistically significant differences in these particular results by the high or low resource mom and the teen mom. And again, you can see the differences at 18 months as well. And the third research goal was the use of the e-risk index to present children's development. And again, you can see here at 24 months what the outcomes were and the relationship between the scores on the e-risk index and at the 24-month child outcomes. And again, you can see where there were significant differences, particularly in areas relating to expressive communication in reference to depression withdrawal, negative emotionality, sensory sensitivity, and so forth, in physical environment. And again, you can see differences and correlations in reference to 24-month problematic ratings for Bailey subscales. One of the things I really wanted to say, my background is really in health disparities, so I'm really not an early child development specialist. And as I was really looking at this e-risk tool, I was really impressed that there was a tool that was developed for health service providers to be able to get a sense of whether or not there are early precursors for neglect. And this is particularly important for low-income and moms of color, because as you might well know, in terms of race ethnicity, there really has not been found to be a difference in terms of whether or not mothers abuse and neglect their kids. But what you do find in many instances is that there is a higher rate of reporting for low income and for minority children. So if you can find a way in which to identify precursors to behaviors, you'll be able to prevent a mother from likely being put into a system that in many instances does not really have her best interest at heart, and is really sort of saying, because she's a minority mom or because she's a low-income mom, we're going to put her into the system a lot more quickly. And I think in addition to that, I think there were a couple of other areas that I think were really important to think about in terms of, again, limitations of this particular study. And I'm going to just say at this point that these are my words, not the words of the first three authors on this paper. And really some of the particular areas to consider and think about when you're doing work around screening for behaviors and attitudes for mothers and for other family members is that we must make sure that we address issues relating to cultural differences and racial differences in terms of how people and families parent their children, what do they see as good parenting behavior versus not good parenting behavior, and how does that relate to cultural differences in families. We also have to look at issues relating to cultural appropriateness of screening tools, and we have to determine whether or not particular tools have been normed on a particular cultural group, and particularly also on teens, because there's also a cultural difference for young people as well as cultural differences for individuals by race, ethnicity, and culture. We also have to think about issues linked to cognitive understanding of concepts that are addressed in tools. So for instance, if a particular tool asks a question about responsibility, what does responsibility actually mean for the particular respondent? We really have to begin to understand that as well. And we have to look at and understand the social cultural context of families, including the cultural strengths of the family, the community risk of the family, community supports, protective factors of individuals, family risk, environmental risk, and environmental supports. So what I'm saying right now is that you really have to look at the family, you have to look at the attitudes and the behaviors of individuals, but you also have to look at this within a social cultural context. And I'm almost finished. I got about two more sentences. It's really important that we think about all these things as we're focusing on families. We want to do the best for families. We want to do the best for children. We want to be able to, as this tool does, to identify risk for children and for families so they can get the best care. But at the same time, we want to make sure that what we're doing is very, very culturally relevant and appropriate. So thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. Okay, so our next